Good morning once again. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you, I'm Pastor Eric, and you are at Bridge City Church Murraysville campus. We are one church, four locations. If you didn't know, there's three other locations meeting now as well. Different pastors, different people leading each campus, and so glad to be with you all. Last week, my family and I got to go on this thing called a vacation, I think is what it's called, vacation. I joked with a couple people because they know I don't take vacations very often. I say my vacations are mission trips. I want to save my time off for that, but my wife always says, that's not a vacation. I said, but it's filling and it's exciting. But, you know, we took a vacation, went to Williamsburg and stopped in Fredericksburg, Berkeley Springs, kind of just made a trip. People love those places. Just did more of a scaled down, didn't want a packet full of a bunch of things, but enjoyed some time off, and I'm glad everyone still met last week. And actually, last Sunday, you had the privilege of hearing from our founding pastor, Pastor Keith Tusey, for those of you who are here. If not, you can always go on our website, bridgecitypgh.com, and you can catch up on any Sunday you missed, or you want to hear more messages, even the other campuses. We put all the audio on our website, and there's also some video of one campus or a recorded message as well each and every week. So you can always catch up, you can hear more, you can hear from other pastors as well, right in our church that are delivering the same message with a different flavor, a little different personality from each one of them. But Pastor Keith, our founding pastor last week, he shared a message and kicked off this series that we titled Courageous Faith. And I love how he mentioned last week there really isn't any other kind of faith, because if it's really faith, it takes courage to do it. Right? Because faith is something that takes God's help, God's grace, God's empowering for us to really be able to live lives of faith. Takes courage. Takes getting beyond ourselves, getting outside of ourselves to do something that we couldn't do on our own. So this series, and why it's so important, we're going to be actually going through the book of Joshua. Last week started Joshua 1, continuing Joshua 1, looking at chapter 3 as well. For the next several months, actually, through the summer, we're going to be going through the book of Joshua, Old Testament book, understanding how we can live lives of courageous faith here in 2023, looking at what Joshua did, looking at what the people of Israel, God's people, did throughout the Old Testament, and really understanding more than being an American Christian, who oftentimes American Christianity, we go through the motions, it's something we do on occasion, or it's an add-on to our life. But reality is God calls us to be followers of Jesus every day of the week, every month of the year, every year of our lives, to continually be living lives of faith. And this message really is all about a people. A people. It's not just an individual thing. I think most of the time we go through life with this lens or this focus of me as an individual. And that can be, we have to do. We have to be reflective and self-focused at times. But the reality is we can broaden our perspective to realize God speaks to a people. He speaks to individuals. He speaks through prophets, speaks through pastors at different times to really communicate something to his people. Jesus said, I'm going to return for my church. I'm building my church. I'm coming back for my people, not just me as an individual. Whenever Jesus comes to take me, it's going to be us, not a me, myself, or I. It's an us thing. It's a we thing that we focus on. But the more I become a better follower of Jesus, the more I become obedient, the more I learn and understand who God is, the better it is for the whole. So there is an individual part, but there's also a corporate part of understanding that ultimately we want to follow God to benefit the whole, the all of us. We can do so much more for God when we do it together. And that really is kind of my heart for this message, is to gather hold of the togetherness of God's word and for his people. To run after God is something that we do on our own, but we do it together. You know, one of the great, maybe more famous scripture references in Joshua is that when he gets to the end, Joshua 24, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I say that for my wife, Rachel, who's up here leading worship, and my kids. We say, we're going to run after God. We're going to pursue God. We're going to pursue the things of God. We're going to live our lives as a thank you to him. Not perfect, but saying, I just want more of God. And we want you to come along for the run as well. To pursue him, to run after him. And let's see what God can do through a people sold out, wholeheartedly devoted to him. And watch what he can do. It's so much better than living our lives for the next vacation, or the next season off, to live for him every single day of our lives. But this faith, what is faith? Well, faith is described in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, the word there defined is conviction, trust, or belief. It's an inward confidence and reliance in God and all that he says. How many of you know God can be trusted? That God's word is more than gold. This is set in stone. Whatever God says, it's the way it is. I don't argue with God because he's my creator. You know, the Bible talks about, does the pot say to the maker, well, you're doing it wrong. No, but oftentimes we can do that to God. We can say, God, are you sure? And like, trust what God has said and what he is going to continue to say, because he's creator, he's in charge, he's all-knowing. We trust, we have a faith and belief in what Jesus and what God has done and what he says. There's a conviction of things not seen. This is an inner conviction. It's a internal persuasion from God that we have. We can have convictions about a lot of different things, but this conviction is believing in things we don't see. There's a lot of things in the Christian faith and the Christian belief that we don't see. They're not in the natural because it's supernatural. It's spiritual. We can't see into heaven, but we can see evidences and believe of things that are to come. There are things to come in the future. We are in time, but God is not. He's outside of time. He shows us things, and we have to believe in things that we cannot fully see. The assurance of things hoped for, that's a standing under. It's a title deed. If you purchase a property, you get a deed, and you can have title insurance to prove that this is my property, that I own this property. Nobody can come along and say otherwise. There's an assurance and a confidence that comes with that. In a similar way, we have assurance of things hoped for. Again, things we don't see. But faith is believing, having a confidence, an assurance, a guarantee from God of things we hope for, things we haven't seen happen yet. I used to say, the more I followed God, the more I got to see a lot of things he's done in people's lives and healings and supernatural things. And I told my wife, I'm like, sometimes I feel like I don't have much faith because I've seen so many things, right? Because it's not faith if you've seen it all. But there's still a faith, there's still a belief, there's still a trusting that God has even more than what you've seen. God has so much more for each and every one of us, and especially us as a people. As a people, we have the promises of God. There's some promises in the God that are individual or specific, but a lot of times the promises of God are for his people, for us together, us collectively. So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 3, kind of see when they get to the promised land. Understand, Joshua, he took over for Moses. Everybody know Moses? Moses was the guy leading God's people out of Egypt. They wandered the wilderness for 40 years, and they finally get to the Jordan River. They're going to cross over into the promised land. This is all what God had been talking about, getting them to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that was so amazing for the people, the God's people, to be a place of rest and receive more of God's promises and blessing. So they get to the river, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go back to chapter 1 and look at it. So picture this like a movie. You ever see those movies where they show a scene, and you're like, I'm not quite following everything that's happening, but then they say, hey, 3 days earlier, and they explain how they got there. Well, this is that first scene, Joshua chapter 3. They're at the Jordan River. They cross in to the promised land. It says, now the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Now this was millions of people. Millions of people of Israelites crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. And you see the picture of the movie scene. They're all crossing on dry ground. The water stopped up. They get to the other side, and then they cuts and says, 3 days earlier. The buildup up to that scene, right? And that's what we're going to look at in Joshua chapter 1. But understanding, how did they get to that point? There were steps of faith they had to take. There were things that got them to. A lot of times we only see crossing the river. We see the breakthrough. We see the victory. We see the miracle. We see where somebody's at now. And we don't look back all the time and remember, man, what did it take to get there? And how did they get on dry ground crossing the Jordan River? The Jordan River is about 100 feet wide. It would have been very quick at this time. And I think of them as they would have, God said, cross the river. And they're stepping out on the water and the water stops, right? It takes steps of faith. At times we take steps out onto the water and we're afraid to step because we don't see what's below the water, right? But faith is believing God's going to have a rock there. God's going to stop the water. God's going to make a way. And not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Taking steps of faith, believing God knows what he's doing. So the big idea for today is a people with courageous faith will be driven by consecration, community, and commitment. All three of these are vital to us to grow and to be all that God has called us to be as a courageous people with courageous faith. Consecration, community, and commitment to take courageous steps of faith. This first one, consecration, we go back to Joshua 1, verse 10 is where we pick up. Joshua commands the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp, command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. There's immediate action. God speaks to Joshua. Verses 1 through 9, God speaks to Joshua. He tells him three times to be strong and courageous. And you think, why would he need to be strong and courageous? They're just walking across the river. But understanding the size of the river, understanding this river would have been flowing. I believe that people would have been there hearing this going, wait, this river? Like in 3 days, we're going to cross this river. Like this was the season they were in, and we know this contextually, is it would have been after the thaw. It would have been springtime. Like water would have been rushing a lot faster than normal. This wasn't like a little stream and they're going to get their feet wet. This would have been a raging impasse of a river. I think sometimes God says, you're going to do something, and we go to, well, wait, how are we going to do that? How are we going to get across? Well, we got to make boats. We got to build a bridge. Anybody know how to build a bridge? They've never been on a bridge before, right? There would have been all these questions. I think at times we look at this and they disobeyed, but in times God says, you're going to do something, he's calling us to do something. We can often go to strategizing or trying to figure out the how rather than just saying, okay, God, you said this, you're going to have to show me how. Or, okay, he said, get provisions ready. They had to start preparing before they could cross the river. Times I think God, people say, well, I'm going to wait till you say go, then I'll start packing. And we miss the whole trip, right? We miss what God's doing when we fail to prepare ahead of time and be ready for when God says go. When you have a God why, how is never the problem. If God speaks, God's given you a why, God said it, then how is never a problem. But often we come up with obstacles or objections or reasons why it can't work rather than saying, God, you've said it, show me how to get there. Help me get there. And sometimes we do it with faith that we can't see what God's doing, but he says, take the next step, take the next step. The next step for them was to get their provisions together, prepare your provisions so you're going to cross in. We jump ahead to Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. There's a process of waiting. See, that God said, we're going to cross the river to Joshua in 3 days. 3 days can be a long time, right? If any of you ever been in a situation where 3 days feels like an eternity, a lifetime, yeah, 3 days can be a long time. If you know the resurrection story, a lot can happen in 3 days, right? There's a lot of things that can happen, but waiting can be one of the most painful things we do, at least personally. I speak for myself. I hate waiting in traffic. I hate waiting in line. Anybody else with me, right? It's just something I'm like, it's a waste of time. I want to do something, right? But understanding what it means when we wait and what God says in his word, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. So as they're waiting these 3 days, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. This is a couple days ahead. He gives them the next step. Prepare your provisions. Get ready. Get yourself in a place that when God says go, you're ready to go. Then he says, consecrate yourselves. That word consecrate is to purify. Set aside all worldly distractions. Set yourself aside from common things and devote yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord. Really asking us the question, are we walking in purity and holiness to the level that God has asked us to? Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Say, God, what have you asked me to do? God, am I consecrating myself unto God? Am I allowing God to purify me? Setting aside the worldly distractions so that I can be wholly, wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. Being right with God is what brings courage. To truly take steps of courageous faith takes being so full focused on God, being in his presence and being right with him. It gives you confidence. It gives you courage to know that you're walking with God and not doing it on your own. You know what happens when consecration is this word that we don't use very often, but at times we think of purity or holiness or consecration is this thing of like, don't sin, right? Or stop sinning. And we can focus so much on not sinning or not doing that bad thing or not choosing the wrong thing instead of what I believe the better option is to focus on God. It's not about my holiness or my purity or my life as much as it is about his purity, his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, God's amazing presence and his glory. And when you're in his presence, the sin doesn't even affect you as much anymore. When you're truly in God's presence, we see this in Isaiah. Isaiah, he's before God. He's in the presence of God in the throne room of God. And he says, oh, what a filthy man I am. Paul said the same thing, a wretched, filthy man that I am. Like, your sin and your flesh comes to notice, but then you say, I don't even want to touch that stuff. I don't even want to go that way anymore because I'm in the presence of God and I want to walk with him. I'm going to be close with him. Sin really is just missing the mark. Sin is what separates us from God. And when you're with God and you're seeking him and you're running after him and you're hungry for God and you're in the word of God, the sin and the stuff doesn't even come at you. It doesn't have as much power over you. There's always going to be sin. There's always going to be temptation. There's always going to be attack. But the more you pursue God, the less that stuff bothers you. The more you can be separated from the worldly things, the worldly distractions, to truly run wholeheartedly after God. Many of us, though, have gotten to a place where we're separate from the world, but we're not living lives of faith. How many of you want to live a life of faith? Faith. We should all say, yes, yes and amen. I want to live a life of faith. I want to pursue God and see things happen in my life that I can't do on my own. But at times we respond to God only by our skills or our qualifications. You know, as I was preparing this, I started asking myself, like, what qualifies me to do what I do? What qualifies me to be a pastor? And on paper, man, there's not a lot. I'm not the most educated, I'm not the most skilled, I'm not the most gifted. You can get a lot better teaching and preaching elsewhere, just being honest. And I'm saying, it's not about my qualifications. What qualifies me is I say yes to God. You may be limiting yourself or disqualifying yourself because you say, well, I'm not like so-and-so, or I watch this person online, or this person seems so much more gifted. Your gifts, your talents, your abilities should not disqualify you. But saying yes to God will always qualify you. Whatever God says, the answer is yes. That qualifies you. That's how we respond to God, no matter what he asks us to do. Because at times he asks us to do things that we can't do on our own. That's why it takes faith. When God says, get up in front of people and speak, I say, God, I don't like talking in front of people. He says, too bad. I say, okay, God, you got to help me because I need all the help I can get. Right? And we ask for God's grace, his mercy, his empowering for us to do the things he's asked us to do. But there's days of waiting and sometimes seasons of waiting, right? Have you ever been in a season of just waiting? Waiting to graduate high school, waiting to do the next thing, waiting for a family member, waiting for something else in my life to take place. There's seasons of waiting. There's days of waiting. And through those waiting periods, that's a consecration period, a period where God can purify us, can consecrate us, can grow us and help us. In fact, they said that the provision, they said, get your provisions ready before they crossed over. Provision always comes before the vision is fulfilled. We see that throughout the Bible over and over again. And I hear this when God says something to somebody, like mission trips. By the way, a team from Honduras is just coming back from Honduras. And there's a team of us, we're leading a team of 12, going to Guatemala this coming Saturday. This coming Saturday, 12 people from Bridge City, 10 of which are from here at Murraysville, are going to Guatemala for 8 to 9 days, depending on how you count the hours. And when we get back, that we're going to go and minister to the people there. I've been there several times. We're going to be doing kids ministry, training kids leaders, training pastors, and helping the ministry of Wesley and Katie Sanchez that we know very well down there to continue going forward. I can't do that on my own. The team can't. We can't do that on our own. We need all of us together. We need to be consecrated unto God and then saying, would you be praying for us, praying for the ministry, praying for lives to be changed and transformed while we're there? That's going to impact for generations to come. It's not just what we do for 8 days. It's the impact beyond. But when it comes to missions, oftentimes people say, I can't go on a mission trip. I can't afford it. I can't get time off. I can't. And there's all these obstacles. But over and over again, people, I say, just ask God what he wants you to do. Just go to God and say, God, would you have me go on this mission trip? There's Pittsburgh trip and Buffalo trip. And that's just an example of something, but there's so many things that say, God, what would you have me do? And before you have any objections, just say yes to God, and he makes a way. Someone on our trip, they just started a job, and they said, I can't take a week off of work. I said, if God said yes, just go with it. And he said, okay, I'm going to go and I'll figure it out. He called his boss. Boss said, take the week off of work. take it off. Like, that's something so much more important than what you're doing at your job. Like God makes a way for you to go wherever he's asked you to go. Whether it's mission trips, whether it's inviting somebody to church, whether it's having a conversation with somebody, whatever it is, allow God to lead your life, and it's so much more exciting. You know, we see spectacular results a lot in people's lives or in different areas, but spectacular results are always preceded by unspectacular preparation. I think of the professional sports level. These guys and ladies that are operating at such a high level, there's amazing talent and so much endurance and effort, stuff that I'm like, I wish I could do that, right? But then you see what they do Monday through Friday often, or during the week, or their off time, and the way they train their bodies, the way they eat, the way they are always so disciplined with their bodies. That's so unspectacular as far as their preparation to see the spectacular things during the game. And there's so many different areas we see that same thing, that the unspectacular preparation, it is not exciting to eat a salad, I'll just be honest, right? Or eat healthy, right? That's usually pretty boring. But then if you want spectacular results, you got to do the unspectacular in the preparation. Marriage, the spectacular marriages, the great marriages I see and I know, it's not that they're doing all the amazing stuff. They're doing the hard stuff week in, week out, day in, day out. The things they don't want to do, the things they don't want to die to themselves, but God's saying, die to yourself, right? There's unspectacular preparation that results in spectacular results. We can't just look at the results and think it's going to happen by chance. But there's often this waiting period. Waiting period is not a passive term, but an active one. We see two examples here in the book of Psalms. Psalm 27, verse 14, or verse 4, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That word wait used there, it means twisting and stretching with the tension of enduring. I stretched this morning. I was twisting and stretching. It wasn't passive. It was active, right? You know, that stretching, that twisting, the tension of enduring. Enduring is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. Waiting on the Lord is an active process. We don't just sit and go, okay, God, whenever you want to show up. Like, there's a process by which we wait on the Lord where it's active, whatever he's asking you to do. And many times, people give up before they get to the breakthrough, before they get to the other side of the river, before they get to the promise that God has given them. I think a lot of times it's because we're not waiting together. There's a waiting together aspect of being consecrated unto God. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage. All you who wait for the Lord. This is actually a different word for wait. English, we only have one word, but in the Hebrew, there's different words for wait. This wait is yakul, which is often translated in hope, tarry, trust, or to remain in anticipation. To remain in anticipation. I've been counting down the days, 6 more days till we're in Guatemala. I've been counting them down with anticipation. I'm waiting, but I'm also preparing. I'm learning Spanish. I'm doing all these things. So there's a waiting process of getting to the promise or the next thing, or the thing that God has for you. I'm sure every kid who graduated or finished school was counting down the days to summer, right? But there's a remain in anticipation. This wait, this belief and this trust, it's an active thing, not a passive thing. Too many people wait or are waiting for God, and they take it in their own hands. Say, God, I've been waiting on you, but it's been so long, I haven't seen you do anything. I'm going to take it on my own. They either give up or they do it on their own, and they miss out on the blessing and the benefits that God has for them. If God has you in a season of waiting, it's a divine summons from him. Waiting is a divine summons. He's summoning, he's inviting you into something, that God is up to something. God is doing something. If you're in a waiting season, keep waiting. But waiting doesn't mean sitting back doing nothing. It means press into him, pursue him, continually be obedient and positioned under faith to God. See, Joshua, he heard from God often. We see he spent time seeking God's will in the quiet of the morning hours. You know, I'm a morning person. I'm guessing some of you aren't because you came to the second worship time. But, you know, the mornings are, all, I say, the best times to hear God. Because why? You don't have all the other noise from the day. The worries and the cares of life that bombard our minds, that are weighing on our mind. I have a very hard time praying and seeking God in the evening because I'm thinking about all the stuff from the day. I'm thinking about tomorrow. When I wake up in the morning, it's like, okay, God, I'm fully focused on you right now. And I encourage you, even if it's 15 minutes, set your alarm a little bit or wake up and say, God, I'm all yours right now. Just God, speak to me. Seek his will. Seek his voice. Seek his word. and watch how it impacts the rest of your day. I know you're not a morning person maybe, but getting before God, even just starting your every single day that way, giving him the first of the day, it impacts the rest of your day. You'll become a morning person. I'm believing in faith. Joshua heard God often. All these references are different examples of how, when God spoke to Joshua. It says God said to Joshua. God spoke to Joshua. God commanded Joshua. All these different times. If you want to hear God, it starts with seeking his voice. He's rarely ever going to stop you in the middle of the day and say something out loud to you. That can happen, but that's very uncommon. What's more common is when we pursue God each and every day, seek his kingdom first. Say, God, would you speak to me? Eliminate the distractions, turn off the phone or turn off the stuff, and just say, God, would you speak to me? If we do that consistently and habitually each and every day, he will speak to you. I believe it wholeheartedly. I know it. It's true. He will speak to you if you're truly listening for his voice. What if we made it our habit, our go-to, to seek God first, especially in prayer, saying, God, I need to hear your voice. The beginning of the year, we start off with pray first. Pray first before you do anything else. And it's, I get it, throughout the year, and you get to summer, kind of like becomes a little harder to do maybe with life and chaos and busyness. I say, no, now when we get refocused, pray first in everything we do. Pray first every single day. Pray and prepare and put ourselves in the right place to hear God. Get yourself in the right place. Sunday morning is a great place to start, to be here, to be in a place to hear from God. But to understand this word, the word that the people were hearing, it wasn't just a word from Joshua, it was a word from God. And I love how Apostle Paul writes it to the church in Thessalonica. The church was doing amazing. They were obedient. They were giving. They were doing a lot of great things. And Paul says that we also thank God consistently for this, that they were hearing him, that when you received the word from God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a word from men, but as it really was, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, that Paul says to the people that they listened to what he said. He says, not just merely men speaking to you, but that God was speaking to you through men. This book is not just a book written by men, but God speaks through men to us. That we can hear God. Thankfully, we can hear God individually, but we hear God through one another as well. We hear God collectively, especially with the spiritual gifts Paul talks about often in the Bible. We hear in part, we know in part, but together we can hear and have a bigger picture of who God is and what he's trying to say. There's a we part of this that we can hear and have a walk of faith, asking the question, God, what are you saying? Two questions you should always be asking yourself. God, what are you saying to me? And what are you saying to your church? Because he speaks to his church. He speaks to his people. And he can say things to you individually, for your life, for your family specifically. But the next question should be, God, what are you saying to us? What are you saying collectively? Which direction are we going? Where are we headed? And hearing God through individual prayer and through corporate prayer as well. We have consecration, then we have community. Community, as we see in verse 12, we continue in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua says to the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them. See, Moses, they were heading from the east to the west across the Jordan into the promised land. 2.5 tribes requested that they stay on the east side of the river. And Joshua says, you guys can stay, but the men who can fight have to go across the river and fight as well. He says, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers, verse 15, as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. These people, these 2.5 tribes, wanted to stay. They wanted to settle on the east side of the river. For whatever reason, we know that they liked the land. They enjoyed it. They didn't want to go and stay in the promised land. And I believe that's a sign that sometimes people stop short of the promises of God. They settle for something less than what God has for them. But they also, but Joshua said, but they have to go fight for the other people as well. He said, you can stay here, you can possess this land, but the men, you have to still go and fight for the promised land, to fight for your brothers and your sisters until they possess the land that God has promised. And when people refuse, they could have just said, hey, we'll be praying for you. God bless. Text us when you get there. Send a carrier pigeon or something. They didn't do that, but they could have done that. I don't know if they would have truly possessed all the promised land that God had for them. But because they were moving in the same direction, they were willing to fight for one another, fight for a land. The 2.5 tribes were willing to fight for the land that they weren't even going to possess. They were going to fight for somebody else to benefit, and then they get to go back and have theirs. They already possessed their land. They had already been there. And at times, we can get to a place where we say, I've already received what I got from God. I'm saved. I'm good. I'm doing great. Life is peachy. And we fall short in settling, but beyond getting to fighting for somebody else, fighting for somebody else's benefit, fighting so that other people can experience the promise that God has for them. Because we're in this together, a community of people pursuing God with the same direction, the same purpose, to truly be a community of faith. So I was driving down the Virginia and back. I love seeing all the different names of churches and creative names. But there's a lot of faith names, names of Faith Community Church, Faith Baptist Church, Faith, whatever, different names of faith on the church. And I thought, I wonder how much they're living lives of faith. Then God turned it to me and said, how much are you living a life of faith? And I was like, how much are you and your people at Bridge City Church and we together as a community, how much are we truly living lives of faith? I'll be honest, man, that was a heart check. It's like, okay, God. Thankfully, my wife sold out for Jesus as well. We said, how about we make this? Just because we're on vacation doesn't mean we stop being followers of Jesus. Everywhere we go, we said, God, show us one person we can pray for. God, show us one person we can witness to. God, help us be a light in somebody's darkness. And we had so many amazing conversations with the lady at the check-in at the hotel, a guy at another resort. We had just had conversation after conversation with people and just opened up people to God more just by talking about what God's doing in our lives. And we want to be a community of faith. That means living lives full of faith, fighting for one another's faith. There's times it's okay when you're going through a rough season. Maybe you're like, I don't see God moving right now. I can't see what God's doing. I'm really struggling with my faith. We fight for one another's faith. We share with one another. We fight together for our faith, together, not individually. If you're not seeing God move in your life, maybe you're in the wrong place. You got to get to around some people who are doing things together, doing things and experiencing God together. Sometimes the biggest problem is not the problem itself, but the temptation to solve it alone. I'll be honest, one of my biggest weaknesses is I don't ask for help. Anybody else? Be honest, you're in church. Anybody, right? At times it's hard to ask for help because I think I can do it on my own, or I don't want to burden somebody else. I don't want to put that on somebody. I can just do it myself. I can sleep a little less. I can work a little more. I can get it done, drink another coffee. And the reality is that we rob other people from being a part of the blessing that God has when he calls us to a community, us to be a community of faith. And just because we've received an inheritance doesn't mean we stop fighting. We fight for the next person. We fight for as many people as possible. That's what we exist for as a church. And at times, we need to borrow one another's faith. I love getting to ask different leaders and different people at different campuses, and my faith needs stirred at times as well. We all do. And I heard how yesterday at Victory and Freedom, a lady accepted Jesus, was saved, and she wants to be baptized, and she received a prophetic word. And I'm like, that stirs my faith. There's people getting saved every single week through our church, and I know there's many great churches that are reaching people for Jesus. That should stir our faith. Even if I'm not praying with a person specifically, I know God's doing things. And I can borrow that faith to say, okay, maybe I'm not seeing things in my life, but I can borrow from them and say, my faith is stirred because it's an us thing. It's a community of people getting saved, people getting healed, people having answered prayers. Man, people have been telling me like they had their prayer they've been praying for 20 years and God answered it. We get our faith, our courageous faith becomes contagious faith. When you get around somebody who's doing things for God, they're hearing God, they're seeing God move, it stirs us to have faith, to believe for more. Say, God, I want to see more of that. God, will you answer my prayer? God, will you show me things in my life? If you haven't been living a life of faith, or you haven't been seeing God move in any miraculous way in your life, I'm inviting you to sign up for the Pittsburgh Mission Trip. Our Pittsburgh Mission Trip, every single person, you're invited to sign up to get registered. You can invite other people to attend. It's coming up in just under 3 weeks, June 29th. It's a Thursday evening, all day Friday, all day Saturday. And before you have any objections, say, I can't get off work, I can't afford that, I want you to ask God what he wants for you to do. Say, God, is this something you want me to do? Is this something you want me to be a part of? And if he says yes, he's going to make a way for you to be there. 2.5 days, what this is it's specifically designed to train and equip you and all of us as the church to really be what we're talking about, taking steps of courageous faith, to being a community of faith, not just inside the walls, but outside the walls. We're going to be going and ministering on the trail. Our trail, the Westmoreland Heritage Trail, runs right behind our building, going to Shop and Save, Giant Eagle, Blue Spruce Shops, Griff's Ice Cream and Export, talking with owners and managers, setting things up so we can go and witness to people, pray for people, just love people. My heart was always, I didn't want missions and outreach to just be a big event. I wanted it to be something we could do every single day of the year. Every one of us goes to a grocery store, a gas station, a doctor's office, somewhere. We can all go and be on mission every single day of the year. You don't have to wait for a mission trip, but we can be on mission right here and now. We're going to train you, equip you how to have conversation, how to walk people into understanding the bridge to life, what it means to be saved. Sometimes it's just loving people. Sometimes you're one person in a line of three or four people that are going to say the same thing that God's saying. And people are like, you're the third person today to say the same thing to me. It gets their attention for God. And that's what this trip is designed. So if you want trained and equipped, I guarantee if you want to live a life of faith, sign up for the Pittsburgh Mission Trip, you will be used by God. You'll be stretched. You'll get outside your comfort zone. And God will use you to take courageous steps of faith. So if you want that, get signed up. We're so excited. And actually, that Saturday on July 1st, we're going to be hosting the first ever Blessing of the Bicycles for the trail. We're going to have people coming in. Pro Bike Run in Monroeville has partnered with us to get the word out, to invite people. We're going to have kids' activities, a lot of fun things for the kids, a free Kona ice truck in the parking lot. We're going to shut down the parking lot and just have a fun day for a few hours to reach people in the community, to love them. I'm going to share an exhortation and pray for safety and protection and God's blessing on the people who frequent the trail. You may not have a bike, just come out anyways and be a part of celebrating. This is a community event on that July 1st, that Saturday in the afternoon. You'll be getting more details here shortly about that, but so excited to do that for the community. Ask God what he wants for you, and then commit to do whatever he says. Which brings us to our third point, commitment. Verse 16 says, they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is a pretty harsh statement that he said. Anybody who disobeys you will be put to death. Now, I'm not promoting that, but I am saying, man, this is the word of God. They took it seriously. They took obedience very seriously and our commitment to God very seriously. How serious are we about our commitment to God and to whatever he says? Are we people who just add a little Jesus to our life, or is Jesus all of our life? That everything we do is for him. That we live our lives as a thank you. And as we do, it takes courageous faith to do that. Our commitment is not only to God, but to one another. Are we willing to repent to one another? Are we willing to carry one another's burdens? I'm so blessed to have especially men in my life who've come and been able to pour out their hearts, pour out their challenges, pour out their struggles. If anything, I love them even more. I'm endeared to them even more. And so many times we say, oh, I can't share that with somebody. How are they going to think about me? What are they going to think about me? What are they going to say about me? Just trust that we're in this together. That we're in a community of like-minded followers of Jesus, to do life together, committed to God, running after him together, linking arms, sharing the battles together. These men, the men that responded to Joshua, they were committing to war. They were committing, saying, yes, we will go to war with you. We're going to cross the Jordan. We're going to fight the enemy to take the land that God has promised. We're in a battle. We're not in a physical battle right now with swords and spears. We're in a spiritual battle. And we got to commit to fight for one another, to fight for our brothers and sisters. Even if it never benefits me, I'm going to fight for somebody else. I'm going to stand and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to believe for the best in every single person. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight for their marriage. I'm going to fight for their families. I'm going to fight with them, not against them. I wonder if Joshua would have thought, man, are they really going to obey? Are they really going to fight? They didn't just say they were going to do something. They actually did it. When they picked up their swords, they picked up their armaments, and they took those steps of faith to cross the Jordan as well. They said yes to God before he ever asked. There's going to be a time when you need to take a leap of faith. A leap of faith. We all took a leap of faith coming to church for the very first time. Maybe you took a leap of faith praying out loud or praying with somebody. Maybe you took a leap of faith of inviting somebody else. You know, every one of us, or most of us at some point, were invited to church. Don't let that invitation stop with you. Take a leap of faith of inviting somebody else. And I love the stories of people who say, well, I'm like, how did you get here? And like, oh, so-and-so invited me. And I'm like, think about it. Like, they were invited by somebody else who's here, and then they were invited by somebody else who's here, and they're invited by somebody else. And there's a train of invitation. Don't let that train stop with you. Let's keep inviting, believing that the next person who's going to come is going to invite the next person, who's going to invite the next person. Somebody took a leap of faith inviting us to a relationship with God, to come to church, to pray with them. Let's take leaps of faith for others as well. If you're at a point where you don't know the last time God did something in you or through you, be committed to say yes to God. Maybe you haven't been seeing God move in your life. Be committed, because God has not called us to a passive, faithless life, but a life full of faith, full of adventure, full of courage, full of dependence on him. He hasn't called us to independence, but interdependence, to be dependent on one another as we're all dependent upon him. What is God asking you to commit to? I can't answer that for you, but maybe it's to simply invite somebody to come with you next Sunday. Say, I'm going to invite somebody to come join me for Father's Day. Maybe a dad or a man in your life, maybe a neighbor, invite them to come to Father's Day next Sunday. We're going to be continuing to give the charge of Joshua and go through the text and hear the word of God together. We're also going to be giving out pepperoni rolls next Sunday to every guy 18 and up. So maybe you're afraid to invite them to come to church. Invite them to come have a pepperoni roll. Labriola's pepperoni rolls were given away to every guy 18 and over next Sunday. So if you were thinking of doing something different next Sunday, that might have changed your plans, right? You know, but inviting people, we do this to not just to say thank you and to bless the men and the ladies got flowers and iced coffee and biscotti on Mother's Day. But we want to bless the men and bless the ladies and honor them. But this is a way for you to easily invite somebody to come to church. Invite them to a pepperoni roll from Labrador for free. It's on us. And they can have coffee too. You know, that's an easy way to say, take a step of faith to say, I'm going to invite another guy to come to church. You can invite ladies and kids too. I'm almost saying it's exclusively for the men, but the men are the only ones getting pepperoni rolls. Hopefully they share. But to invite people to join you, to invite, maybe God's asking you to commit to the Pittsburgh mission trip, to get registered, to get signed up, to say yes to God for those 2.5 days where we decrease distractions, we increase devotion, and we do it together. God does amazing things when we come together. To contribute to what God is doing through Bridge City Church, maybe your next step of courageous faith. Maybe it's going the next steps. We have every month to learn more about the church. It's going to be happening in a few minutes once we dismiss. To learn more about how you can become an active and growing part of Bridge City Church. Maybe it's to begin giving and trusting God with finances. Maybe it's serving on a team, being in a group, being connected with a body of people. What is God asking you to commit to? My ask to you is to ask him what he wants you to do, and then just say yes. Whatever that is. We all have different next steps we can take. So a people with courageous faith, will be driven by consecration, community, and commitment. Our courageous faith is so that others can pass through their Jordan. Many of us, we've made it to the promised land. We made it to the other side of the river. We're experiencing great promises and things of God. But we still have things that we need answered prayer for. We need God to speak to us. We need breakthrough. Maybe your breakthrough, maybe your answer to prayer is going to become when you get somebody else's answered prayer. Somebody's been praying for you to come into their life. Maybe someone's saying, God, would you send somebody into my path? God, would you be real to me? God, if you really are real, would you send somebody? Give me a sign. Have you ever prayed those prayers or had that before? What if you're that person for somebody else? To just get out of your comfort zone and to talk to somebody else, to share what Jesus is doing in your life with them. If you could all stand to your feet. There's a verse we often use for salvation, call to salvation. It's Romans 10, verse 9 to 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now it starts with our first courageous step of faith has to be believing in Jesus Christ. That what Jesus did on the cross was more than enough to deliver me from my past. We say forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. That if you truly believe in your heart, that belief is a trust in, a fully convinced of. It includes reliance and submission upon that produces obedience. But beyond just that first decision, it comes to all of us can live this verse out. Believe in our heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He conquered sin in the grave. And now he's going to walk with us as we could believe in our hearts and we're walking with him that Jesus is Lord. It's not just a one and done thing. It's a lifelong thing. And we do this together. It's a personal decision, but it's not a private decision. It's a public one. That our decision to follow Jesus is meant to be public. He calls us as his people to be a light on a hill, shining out for all to see. Now, as we grow and we walk and we become more faithful and followers of Jesus, we do it together. What you're invited to right now is to make a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you're not sure if you've done this before. Maybe you're not certain. I invite you to respond so that we can help you understand how you can take your next steps with God. If we could have every eye closed and every head bowed. If you're here today and you don't know for absolute certainty that you have a relationship with God. Not that you were baptized, not that you've been a member of a church, not that your parents raised you, but that you have made the decision, the belief, that you truly believe in your heart to trust in, to be fully convinced that Jesus is Lord, that he is the only way to heaven. And you believe that he can forgive your past and walk you into your future. If that's you today and you say, yes, I need that today. I believe in him full-heartedly. I need to begin a relationship with him. I need to be made right with God. The first step you can take to be courageous is to say yes to that. I invite you just to slip up your hand to take that step and say, yes, that's me. I need Jesus to be the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future. If you're here today, just slip up that hand if that's you. Well, I ask for everyone in the room, if you know you want more of God, more of faith, the more to live a life of faith, I just ask you to slip up your hand to say, that's me. I want more of the things of God. That's all you're saying. You want to live for him. You want to live a life of faith. You want to take steps of courageous faith. I invite you to slip up your hand. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Father God, I pray right now for every single person in this room. God, every hand that's raised. God, that we would be a people of courageous faith. That God, we wouldn't exist just for ourselves, but we'd exist for those who haven't began a relationship with you yet. God, that we'd fight across the river of our lives to win the promises of God for other people as well. God, we thank you for delivering each and every one of us. God, we thank you for saving each and every one of us. God, if I pray if there's anybody here who doesn't know for absolute certainty that they have a relationship with you, not because of their works, but because of what you have done, God, I pray they'd make that decision to say yes to you. They begin to walk with you. They begin to follow you. They'd be consecrated unto you. They'd get connected to the community by which you have put together here in a church. And God, that they'd be committed to live for you. God, I pray for each and every one of us to be fully committed to you each and every day of our lives. May you mark us and use us to build your kingdom, to expand your church for your namesake, for your honor, and for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to stay standing and actually receive communion together. There's a cracker and a cup of juice that's on a table in the back. If you did not receive that, you can actually make your way back to the table and grab one of those. If you've begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what qualifies you to receive communion as a follower of Jesus. The Bible talks about before we receive communion, if there's any wrong in our hearts or any offense we have with a brother or sister, we should leave at once and go settle that. I believe if we truly are repentant before God, we say, God, consecrate me, purify me. Communion is a time of remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a somber time, but it's a time of celebration as well. So I invite each and every one of us here to take a moment to try to eliminate the distractions in our mind. It helps if you close your eyes just to stop seeing things in the natural. And make sure we're right before God. So God, if there's any offense in my heart, any wrongdoing, any sin, anything that you want me to change or anything that's been unpleasing to you, God, I repent of it right now. Repent is to turn from it, to be walking in one direction, to go the opposite, to go towards God. God always calls us closer to him. If you're here today and there's some things you need to confess to him, the Bible says you confess your sins to God, he is right and just to forgive them. Be forgiven of those. When we confess our sins to one another, as it says in James 5:16, there's healing that comes. We confess to God for forgiveness. We confess to one another for healing. And in this moment, I'm inviting you to confess anything to God, to get right with him. You can say it under your breath. You can speak. You don't have to say it out loud. We're not here to put you on show, but to truly seek God. To remember that the cracker that represents Jesus' body and the juice that represents Jesus' blood was broken and shed for us to be forgiven. For us to be able to be healed, for us to be able to be whole. He didn't just die for one of us, he died for all of us. So in this moment, we remember him. God, we thank you for your sacrifice, for making the way so that we could be in heaven someday. And God, that we could have all that we have here and now. We thank you for your body, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake together, church.